Okay, tonight we are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So, as you're getting there, I will go ahead and ask the blessing on the word. Father, we do want to lift your word right now. And Lord, nothing we need more than you and your word, Lord. And so we just pray right now that your word would be everything that you need it to be to us. Lord, we thank you. We say it, but Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And we pray that you would move, Lord, in nothing I say, but just in your word. Lord, that we would understand your love, your mercy, and your grace through your word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy, my title is Be Strong in Grace. If you've got a title, sometimes that's the one that I have in mind. And I generally preach out of the New King James, but I study out of about 4 different translations, but I generally I preach a lot of times out of the New King James. And I love the titles sometimes it has in there, but this one is Be Strong in Grace. Verse 1, it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, we know that Paul is writing here to Timothy, and Timothy, we know, is this young preacher boy, and he's saying, be strong in the grace, but he's saying be strong in God's power, the power of God's grace in your life. That's what you need to rest in. Because too many times when we're out there and we're trying to be strong, we're trying to be, you know, I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to make it through this. We try to get through situations based on our own strength. And Paul is saying here, and yes, he's saying to Timothy, and he's talking to Timothy and the things he's calling him to do. But it's for all of us, I believe. It's not just for Timothy because he was a preacher. It's for all of us. We can all find that jewel in this scripture. He says, be strong in the power of God's grace that is in Christ Jesus. So in the strength that you have, in the things that you do, in the things that you face, the people you deal with, don't be strong in your own power. Because that's what we have a tendency to do. Well, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be persistent with this person. And that's where my problem is. We have to find that idea and that understanding that as we go into those situations, we have to be strong in His grace. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes that's easy. Sometimes it's not so easy. But he's telling him here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach. Now, this is the ideal chain of discipleship right here. Paul teaches Timothy. Timothy teaches faithful men who are able then to teach others. So it's like a chain. This link hooks to this link, which hooks to this link, and so forth. If at any point that chain is broken, then the discipleship chain is broken. There are a lot of times that we want someone else to teach people. Well, I'll teach my kids when they're little. But then when they turn 18 and they're out of the house, who am I teaching? Or I'll teach if they come to my Sunday school class. But he's saying, teach these things to people that you heard me teach to many people, to many witnesses. Commit them to people that are going to be faithful to teach these things to other people, who are going to be faithful to teach these things to other people, who are going to be faithful to teach. And it goes on and on. The problem is we've broken the chain a lot of times, because we want one link to teach everybody. We want six links to teach everybody, when the responsibility is all of us are taught to teach what God has given us. Maybe not from a pulpit, or maybe not from in a Sunday school class, because God calls different people to do different things. But what He has given you, you are responsible to teach others. For you and I, we are to yes, share the gospel, but find somebody to disciple. If I was to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm not going to, but to raise your hands and say, do you know of one person that discipled you as you grew up? Some of us could say, yeah, I can pick out somebody. And then if I was asked the same question, raise your hand if you can name somebody that you've discipled. Probably less hands. And it's not really theology so much as it is a life with Jesus. You give them what you've got. I pass on what God has given me to this person. That's what Paul did to Timothy. And then Timothy takes what Paul had given him about Jesus and he passes it on to somebody else. I think our world today is the way it is because too many people just are the end of that chain. Because that's not my gift to teach somebody. I'm no good at that. Well, you know, when the doctor first told us, hey, your wife had this little baby boy and you're taking him home, I'm like, I'm no good at that. I don't change dirty diapers. I've never done this before. Doesn't matter. It was my responsibility. If we looked at parenting the same as we look at sometimes discipleship, there would be a lot of babies left out on the street corner. Because that's not my gift. I've never done it before. I would be in over my head. But what we're supposed to do is take what God has given us and share it with somebody else in how we deal life. And I'm not talking theology. I'm not talking, end times stuff. I'm talking about how God has brought you through life and how God has taught you through someone else what God has given you, then you pass that on to somebody else. That's what we're called to do as individual Christians, to teach others who can then teach someone else. Verse 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship. Ouch. We don't want that part in there. They could have left that out. Paul could have left that. No, he couldn't have, because Paul had already endured hardship. He knew Timothy was going to endure hardship. If you're going to try to disciple people, if you're going to try to minister to people, then you're going to endure hardship. And I love this because he gives three illustrations here in this, and that's kind of why I picked this passage this week, because I think if we stop and look at these three illustrations that he uses in this passage and understand what he's calling us to do into just being faithful. To be faithful to do what he's called us. He says, you must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Now, I've never been in service, but I know there are several of you out here that have. And he's telling us that we need to treat our life for Christ the same way that that were in the military were trained and taught, this is what your commanding officer said. Well, I'm not really comfortable with that today. I think I'm going to stay in my bunk while you go out through the jungle. It probably wouldn't have worked very well. But he's saying here, he says, you're supposed to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you went into the service, all you had to do was just get a uniform and grab a gun, right? Hey, I'm good to go. I look like I got a gun. I'm good to go. No, there's training involved. There is that idea of, I've heard people say, they get you in there and then they break you. And then they form you into what they want you to be. You know, really, it's the same. God takes that old Steve and he says, I want to break that. And I want to mold you into what I want you to be. I don't just want you to have the uniform. I don't want you just to have the weapon. I want you to be able to be trained in the gospel. I want you to be able to go out, and when you get in the battlefield, that you will be ready to do everything that God, as your commanding officer, has called you to do. Man, if we looked at every day that way, we've been watching this show here lately on. We record it on Wednesday nights, and we play it after we get home. It's something about special forces. And supposedly they took like 16 movie stars and athletes and things, and they supposedly put them through this special training forces and all of these things that this is what you expect. This is what you expect. But they can quit anytime they want. All you got to do is just take that badge off your arm and you can quit. Man, it's not that way. You can't just, I'm done. I'm going home. I want to go see my wife. I don't like the way the enemy's getting so close. I don't like how uncomfortable this is. But as Christians, that's the way we act. You know, I'm not going to get out of my barracks today. I'm going to sleep in. Because I had a rough day yesterday. But that's the way we treat Christianity. And Paul's telling Timothy, you can't do that. And be a faithful soldier of Christ is you have to look at every day that you have no choice but to get up, get dressed, and get in the battle. But that's not the way we look at it. Because we just take orders from our commanding officer when we're okay with it. But he says, you can't get entangled in the things of this life when you're supposed to be fighting for Christ. There are so many times that Christians get so entangled in the world that they lose sight of the battle. We're talking in men's Bible study about in Hebrews where there were those that were being persecuted. Well, do I go ahead and stay and follow the faith in Christ, or do I go back to the law? Because this persecution is not really working out the way I thought it would. And so I want to go. I'm thinking about going back. I'm thinking about, you know, dropping out. And they get to thinking about the old life, what it used to be like. And we talked again about the children of Israel. Man, I think we had it better off when we were in Egypt. I think we'd better go back. I'd rather go back than to die out here in the wilderness. We as people want to choose to go back because we get to thinking of what our old lifestyle used to be. But a soldier that's enlisted in God's army, it says you don't get engaged in warfare that entangles himself in the affairs of the other life, of this life, of our past life. We have to be focused on the warfare that sets before us. And I think another thing is, we don't see it as warfare. We don't see what we're facing a lot of times as warfare. It's uncomfortable. It might even be a conflict. It might even be this. It might even be that. But it's really not warfare. Well, when I read it, it says it's against the schemes of the devil. Principalities and powers of darkness. That's who we're fighting. And if you don't see that as a war, if you don't see that as ongoing war from Satan against you because you're enlisted in God's army, then maybe that's why I'm not prepared. But one way of being faithful, one way of being that person that Timothy's supposed to be or that I'm supposed to be, that you're supposed to be, when Paul was saying you got to be strong in the grace, get out there and share and witness and disciple faithful people. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be hardship. Do it as a soldier. But then he also says in verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Throughout the Bible, there's a lot of times that it uses athletics as an idea, as an understanding. And I've never really understood that much, because Jesus, a lot of his parables were always with farming, things like that, average everyday things. I don't see that many athletes. I know they had the athletics in Greece, and I know there was a lot of it there, but your average everyday person. But what they're saying is, if anyone competes, you've got to go by the rules. If you're going to be the faithful follower of Jesus Christ, if you're going to be that disciple, then you've got to follow some rules. And today, a lot of people don't want to follow the rules. I'll disciple when I want to. I'll do the things that, you know, that are comfortable. But it says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, my salvation is set, but to be crowned is to be rewarded. You accomplished what you set out to do. So many times Christians are satisfied with, I don't really need the crown. I know I'm going to have eternal life. I know I've got that. I don't need the rewards that the Bible says will be given to me by Jesus Christ because I was faithful in doing the things He called me to do. Too many people are okay just to, well, I know I have a relationship with Him, but that's where it stops. Well, sometimes that may be an idea that they just think they have a relationship, because it says you are to follow the rules. Other people will say, well, you know, we don't have to follow the rules. We don't have to follow the law anymore. You don't have to follow the law to be saved, but if you love Jesus Christ and you surrender to Him and you've accepted Him, then you will do what He calls you to do, not to be saved, but because you are saved and because you're following Him. And that's that same way with that athlete. If you're going to sign up to be that athlete, then you sign up to do the things that God has called you to do as your coach. Had a lot of years as a coach, and there was a lot of times when kids would come and we'd start off with a half mile run every day before practice. There'd be kids show up late. Hey, I didn't get here in time to run, coach. That's okay, you can run twice later. But it's that idea that if the coach says, this is what you're going to do, this is the rule you're going to follow. You get 5 fouls, you don't get 10. You get 3 strikes, you don't get 4. You can't hit that net with your hand. Whatever the rules are, you have to go by them. Why is it as Christians we don't think that we have rules to go by? Well, I'm under grace. I don't have to go by rules anymore. That's not what this book says. So he tells us we're to be a soldier. We're to be like that athlete. And in verse 6 it says, then the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. He doesn't say a whole lot about this farmer, but you stop and think of what he says in that title. The hardworking farmer. Have you ever known too many farmers that weren't hardworking? They probably weren't farming very long. It's not easy going out and chopping ice. You know, going out there when it's hot, when nobody else wants to, when the air conditioner broke down or there never was an air conditioner, whatever it is, the hardworking farmer, if he's going to partake of his crops, then he's the one that's got to get out there ahead of time. He's got to be consistent. He's got to be persistent. As Christians, we're called to do the same thing. We just want that fruit to show up. Man, if I just dress nice and walk through the town and everybody thinks I'm a good guy, then that spiritual fruit's just going to pop up. Well, if I just drive through my field, is the crop going to pop up? No. We've got to understand that it's not going to be easy. With the soldier, we're taking his orders. And with the athlete, we're obeying rules. And with the farmer, you've got to put in the work. It's not something that's going to be easy. It's something you have to do. And if I go out as a farmer and I put in the work, I till the ground and I plant the seed, that's really about all I can do. I have nothing to do with the crop growing. When it comes to you and me, sometimes we want to be Christians that just harvest the crop. In a sense, we want it to just pop up. He says you're going to be a hardworking farmer that must first partake of the crops. You've got to put forth the effort. Work now for the harvest later. And you work now even if you don't know that there's a harvest later. I only want to work if I know the harvest is there. We pray all the time, God, I just pray that we get to see some fruit for what we're doing. That's none of my business. Yeah, we want to do everything God calls us to do, and we know that it tells us that we're supposed to produce a fruit, and much fruit, it tells us in John. But we decide how much work we're going to put in based on how much fruit we think we're going to see. The work is we're supposed to be hardworking farmer even without knowing about the harvest. He says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So this was Paul telling Timothy, I want you to understand, back to that phrase, endure the hardship of a soldier, of an athlete, of a hardworking farmer. Understand those things. And then in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. When I first studied this week, I'm thinking, okay, he's talking about being faithful. He's talking about being the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, and understand the hardship that's coming. And then he goes to verse 8 and says, but remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. Well, why did he jump to that? Well, it's not so much that he jumped to it, but he said, here's your motivation. Let me tell you, this is your motivation for being the soldier. This is your motivation for being the athlete. This is your motivation for being the hardworking farmer, because you need to remember that Jesus, the seed of David, and so that tied that back to who he's talking to here, because remember, he's talking to these people that they had understood the lineage of David, the Messiah was coming. Remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He's no longer dead. That's why you do what you do. Why do you do what you do when it comes to witnessing and discipleship? Well, if we don't do it, then that next generation is not going to hear about Jesus. Yes, that's true. But you do it because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We're to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to the gospel. So many people don't even know what the gospel is. It's like, well, yeah, they don't. But he's saying, remember the gospel. Remember Jesus was raised from the dead. And he goes on to say that I suffered all this trouble. Paul's saying, I suffered all these things, even to the point that I was put in chains. But even when I was put in chains, the Word of God is not chained. No matter what your limitations are, the gospel is not limited by your power. Well, my excuse used to always be, well, I don't reach very many people. Paul couldn't reach very many people when he's in chains, but that didn't stop him. He may have been in prison somewhere, but that didn't stop him from writing a letter. That didn't stop him from talking to whoever was in there and jail cells and all the people that were listening, jailers, the ones that were listening. It didn't stop him. And just because you don't think you have much of a reach shouldn't stop you, because the gospel is not chained even when we are. He goes on in 10, he says, therefore I endure all things, and this is Paul again, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He's saying, I'm willing to put up with everything. I'm willing to be this soldier. I'm willing to be this athlete. I'm willing to be this farmer, endure all these hardships because the gospel is not chained, and I'm going to endure everything I have to, because the gospel is still moving. God is still working. For the sake of anybody that's going to choose God, I'm going to keep working. I don't know who that's going to be. I'm going to preach next Sunday morning, and I have no idea who in here is going to listen to it. But for the sake that God is still working, God is still moving, I'm going to do it. And so you and I, when we go out tomorrow, I don't know who's going to be listening. I don't know who I'm going to have a chance to talk to. But because I know that my God is still moving, because I know that my God is still working, I'm going to still do what He's called me to do. And whoever hears it, that's up to him. I will endure all things for the sake of anybody. And it says elect, and some people will take that word and run with it. But what it really means is, for the sake of anybody that's going to accept Him, I'm going to endure anything I have to for the sake of anybody that's going to accept Him, that they also may obtain salvation. I'm going to do whatever I can so that somebody out there that will believe in God will accept salvation. Man, if it takes that attitude of being a soldier or an athlete or a farmer, enduring any kind of hardship, are you willing to do it? Because there's somebody out there that's going to hear what you've got to say, that's going to come to that point there in that verse that says that they may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Verse 11 says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. That's a big if there. If I truly died with Him, not a physical death, but a spiritual death. He died physically. If I have surrendered my life to Him, if I have died to Christ, that means I surrendered to Him 100%. If I died with Him, then we shall also live with Him. And that means I live my life for Jesus Christ. You live your life for Jesus Christ. Doesn't say you might. Doesn't say you could. Says we shall. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Now, if you take that and you look this up in the commentaries, well, what does it mean if we endure? is talking about not salvation at this point. He's saying if we endure, if we do the things we're called to do, then the reward that we have when we reign with Him, those rewards, those blessings will be there if we endure the hardships. Now, the fact that I endure hardships, that's not going to get me salvation. My salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if I'm willing to endure hardships so that someone may obtain salvation, whether they do or not, that's not up to me. But if I'm willing to surrender my life and do the things that God's called me to do, if I'm willing to endure, that means I've surrendered. And it says, then I will also reign with Him. I will also be rewarded by Him and with Him. But it goes on to finish verse 12. It says, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Again, not talking about salvation. It's talking about, are you enduring the things? Don't take it out of context here. He's talking about doing the things He's called us to do. If we deny Him, if I refuse to do what He's called me to do, I'm denying Him. If I refuse Him, if I deny Him, then He's going to deny me. Not deny that He knows me, but deny what He has for me. The blessings that He has in store for you because you're supposed to be doing what He's called you to do. If we are faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. If I am not willing to step out on my faith and endure the things He calls me to do, He's still going to be faithful to me. Man, I don't deserve it. Never will, never have, never could. But He tells us in this phrase, in this faithful saying there, if we died, we need to live. If we endure, we'll be blessed. If we deny, we're going to miss out. If we're faithless, if we have no faith, if we don't stand on faith, believe in faith, that He is there with us to do the things He's called us to do, that's not going to change who He is. He is faithful, even when I'm not. So as we look at this short passage here tonight, these 13 verses, God has called us to be strong in the grace to do all the things that He set before us, to be faithful. But even when we're not, He is. He calls you and me to be faithful so that someone may obtain salvation. He tells us what it's like. He gives us ideas, illustrations with those three people. But what it comes down to is He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to be faithful. And like we talked about tonight, the choice is up to you. Are you going to be faithful? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to endure the hardships? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for the blessings of it. We thank You for the guidance, Lord, that You place it here and You tell us how to live. You tell us what You expect of us. You tell us of the rewards and the blessings that You have for us. Lord, but that's not why we want to do this. We want to do this because You have risen and You are faithful and You love us. Lord, may we seek to honor You. In Your name we pray. Amen.